In June last year, a news story caught my eye. A 33-year-old Nashville man had a court date in Tennessee. His only crime? Fatherhood. Of course, more specifically, the fact that he had fathered a verified 22 children with 14 different women and was unable to provide child support for any of them. The man himself couldn't quite say how many children he had, guessing at first that it was around 18. When asked to name the mothers, he thought maybe there were 17 of them, but he wasn't sure. He told a court reporter, "Oh, I love my kids," but admitted less than 5 minutes later that he couldn't actually remember their names. He told another reporter, "My legacy lives on. I wanted 50, but I guess I'm stopping now." Not always easy to be a father. On the other hand, Genghis Khan, the Mongol warlord born over 800 years ago, actually fathered so many children that today DNA evidence shows 1 out of every 200 men and 0.5% of the entire population of the world are his direct descendants. The warlord himself probably never met or even ever thought of most of his children. So sometimes I guess it's easy to be a father. But it always takes guts to be a dad. When I ask about mothers, I usually ask, who loved you into being? But for dads, the question is different. For dads, I would ask, who loved you so much that they became a dad for you? So what is a dad? A dad is not simply the biological entity that gave you one half of your genetic material, although he may indeed have biologically fathered you. A dad is not only the guy who was in the house while you were growing up, though he may indeed have lived with you. A dad is not your friend, though he may have been incredibly friendly. Becoming a dad is about making a choice. It's about making choices day after day after day. A choice to share not just a bloodline, but his being. Sometimes they got it wrong, sometimes so wrong. And sometimes they got it right. But day after day, year in and year out, fathers who want to be dads make the choice and they keep trying. You know, the word father is in the dictionary somewhere between fathead and fatigued. And for many dads, especially those with teenagers, this is how they go through life, feeling like they are bouncing between dumb and disastrously tired, with occasional side trips into sheer lunacy. And the funny thing is, they are. It's hard to be a dad, especially when your children occasionally seem to come from another planet, one with an entirely different vocabulary. And parents frequently make the mistake of thinking we all speak the same language as our children. We see this all the time, not just when we laugh at each other for differences in tone and slang. It happens with the British and the Americans. When my husband says biscuit, he means a cookie. When I say biscuit, I mean the correct answer. A flaky southern delicacy meant to go under gravy. The same thing happens when we talk to our children. Dads and kids often speak entirely different dialects. In the interest of improving parent-child communication, let me give you a few of the translations I have learned. Dad, I can't finish my hamburger. It means I snuck in and ate three sandwiches when you weren't looking. I can't finish dessert. Your child is sick. Take them to a doctor. I didn't do it. You can't prove a thing. Ralphie is a liar. Uh-huh. Expect a call from Ralphie's parents. And my favorite, Mom said it was okay. The translation there is, Mom forgot her cell phone, and I'll be out the door as soon as you say yes. Dad, can I have a boa constrictor? Meaning your child wants a dog and is trying for a better leveraged bargaining position. Dad, I hate you. Meaning I'm scared. I'm scared, Dad, and I don't know what to do. And you're here. I think all parents can testify that their children or grandchildren do speak a different language at times. And it's one of the reasons it's hard to be a dad. We recognize and we honor today every man who stood as his child shouted at him in anger or frustration. Every man who tried to understand his son's clothing choices, his daughter's hairdo, his child's choice of friends or makeup or religion. Every man who suddenly realized that his child might be right and him wrong and was willing to listen. And every man who honestly believed that he was making the best choices he could, even if they weren't all right. For every man who screwed it up, got it wrong, tried again, got it right, and often went from being the dumbest soul alive to the pinnacle of brilliance and back again in one day, according to his children. These are our dads. Writer Patrick McManus, the author of the story Mean Tense that you heard today, grew up in the wilds of Idaho. His own father died when he was six and truly left the family destitute. Pat spent his time hiking and hunting, fishing and camping, stopping only to eventually marry his wife, Darlene, who he calls Bun in his humor column, and who I can testify is a woman of very real and very great patience. Pat's mom was his father growing up. He is one of the few children I am aware of who has the distinction of attending a one-room schoolhouse and failing when it was taught by his mother and the schoolhouse was in his home. She was a toughie, that lady. She was his dad. And Pat took the model she gave him, and he had four daughters. And as they grew, he brought them along as he continued his disastrously funny love affair with the great outdoors. When interviewed, he recalls their early camping efforts with affection. And he says, camping with small children often requires substantial interrogation techniques. We would set up the tent about a mile away from the nearest bathhouse, and it would be time for bed. And the older girls would go to the bathhouse with Bun as soon as it got dark, but the youngest would refuse, and I would end up sounding like this. Is your name Aaron McManus? Do you have a dog named Fergus? Do you have to go to the potty? Are you sure? Are you sure you're sure? What about now? And of course, as soon as we got five people in their sleeping bags in a four-person tent, I would feel a little hand tugging at my pajama sleeve. And then I would find out that my $75 deluxe flashlight was somewhere 9 miles back on the trail, where she left it after using it to break open nuts. And still, he took his girls camping in real life over and over and over again, sharing himself and his experiences with those he held dear. We honor and we recognize today all of those men who taught us what they knew and forgave us when we got it so wrong. Those who wanted to teach us, but left too soon, or simply didn't know the words. Those who walked us to the bathroom in the dark, and those who turned on the lights and waited for us to come back on our own. Those who let us break their binoculars and steal their shirts, and those who taught us why it was wrong to break and to steal. These are our dads. I have never actually met the man who fathered me. He was a 16-year-old kid who met a girl that he liked. It was the 60s, and he was white, and she was Middle Eastern. And her parents sent her away as soon as they found out what was going on. She never told him she was pregnant, and he had moved when she came home. My adopted dad could never have children, so he and Mom signed up to adopt a white male baby. Wow. That didn't work so well, and they ended up with me. Growing up, Dad tried to teach me a lot, most of it when he thought I wasn't looking. I still remember when I was 10 or 11 and we had taken the boat out on the river. Dad really was an excellent water skier, and that day he was in rare form. He skied slalom, hot-dogging it on one ski, riding on the side of the wake, parallel to the river with his body. And I watched, literally with my jaw hung open, as he did what appeared to be a complete forward cartwheel on the ski, landing upright on the wake, zigzagging for a minute or two, and then coasting down into the water as the boat came around and giving the thumbs up. I thought this man had performed a freaking miracle. I was on that boat going, oh yes, 10. But once he got in the boat, he told me to knock it off. And I realized his face was white and he was drenched in sweat. And he admitted to his daughter, who wouldn't have known any better, that he had been so busy showing off, trying to impress us, that he hadn't seen the chunk of tree limb until he hit it with his slalom ski and nearly took himself out. We recognize and honor today all of the men who taught us what it means to be honest, even when it makes you look like a twit, even when it was embarrassing. To tell the truth and admit to our faults, to be human, and to learn from our mistakes. We recognize, too, those fathers who couldn't teach us these things because they never learned them themselves, but who hoped and prayed that we would somehow learn it on our own because they knew they didn't have it to give. These are our dads. The years where we could take the boat out and laugh didn't always last, and Dad and I didn't see eye to eye as I grew up. And I left home the day after I turned 18. Two bad relationships, and 5 years later, and I still wasn't speaking to the man. Because the words we had said because I left home were angry and full of pain. But one night, I got into more trouble than usual. I was friends with someone whose abusive ex-husband couldn't let her go. And we came back from somewhere, and she started to get out of my car at her house at 10 o'clock at night. And he pulled up waving a pistol. And I was young and stupid, and rather than drive us both to the police station, I pulled her in, and we took off. And my only thought was to get out into the country to my own farm where I had my own gun. And thankfully, I wasn't that much of a chowderhead. Before things turned really tragic, I came to my senses and decided, okay, we may have been fighting for 5 years, but we'll pull in at my parents'. It was between where we were and where we thought we were going. And with her ex-husband a few car lengths behind us, we ditched my car in the front yard, jumped the fence, came up through my parents' basement. And I'll never forget my dad's face as we burst into the kitchen. He was sitting there in his underwear eating cheese and crackers. And without missing a step, the only way I could get through this was to just get through it. I said, "Hey, Dad, what's up? This is Carolyn. Put on some pants and really don't answer the front door. I'm serious." And there was a brief pause, and before Dad could say anything, my mother yelled calmly from the other room, "There's a crazy man on the porch screaming and waving a gun. Is that Amy who came in?" And Dad, being Dad and having the sense of humor that I have, shook his head slowly and then said to me, just dripping with world weariness, "Not again, sweetheart. How many times does this make?" And my friend, of course, is horrified and said, "Oh, my Lord, you've had this happen before?" As my father got up and placidly walked into the other room with this smirk on his face, to call the police and to find a robe. And it took me a month before she would believe that, yes, he was that deeply committed of a smart aleck that after 5 years he would go with it. And no, I had never done that before. Today we recognize and honor all of the men who have been there or tried to be there when the chips are down, no matter what. Those who've remained calm in a crisis, and those that couldn't remain calm but who didn't run away. Those who did run away, but came back again. And those who never came back, but who always wished it could have been different. They are our dads. Rich or poor, tall or short, slender as a pole, round as a basketball, they are the people who helped to raise us, those who formed us through their actions and their lack of actions. They are our dads. Birth fathers and adopted fathers, stepfathers and foster dads, fathers who have no children but who step in to raise the child of a neighbor or friend, grandfathers, single moms who have to wear the t-shirt that says, "I'm the dad too." They are our dads. Through love and hatred, joy and tears, abuse, addiction, mental health issues, perfect health, sickness and aging, wealth and poverty, absence and presence, they are our dads. They are because of us, and we are because of them. How amazing. They are our dads. Amen. I'd like to do just a brief polylog. If anyone has anything to say, we'll just take a few minutes.
Thank you for the, this is Eric. Thank you for the clear words of gratitude for a subject that's kind of vague and confusing, sometimes conflicting. It's not a clear, easy path. But your words were gracious and kind and very direct. So thank you for that.
This is Lynn. Thanks, Amy. I was just thinking of my father, who I woke up missing terribly today. He's been gone for about 15 years. And he raised six of us. And, I remember my brother Bob was in high school and had hair that was considered long. Just looking around to see. Definitely not like Paul Fackler's. More like Greg's, I guess, here. Maybe covered his ears a little bit. So not long by our standards today, but he was suspended from high school. And my dad, being an attorney, took it to court and had the dress code repealed there. And the next day, my brother cut his hair like Al Haskell's over there. So, I mean, he went over backwards for us kids.